hell of a game. Yeah, let me say something. As long as I'm in this fucking job, Snelker will be the offensive coach. I mean, no question fucking about that. No fucking question about that. Now, I don't like to name names after a fucking game, but we can't be responsible for the blocking. We can't be responsible for the fucking guys jumping offside. We can't be responsible for fuck. We get down there and it was a dumb play by Anderson. I love Anderson, but it was a dumb fucking play when his shoe was coming off up the line screen. We were hard to take timeout. We had a fucking trap play called, and his fucking shoe comes off.
Oh, this is a all-time great interview.
Thank you, Jerry Burns.
Coincidentally, that's exactly how I feel about most of my team. I can't control Joe Burrow getting paid $55 million a year and then going out and tossing for 84 yards and Ja'Marr Chase not doing anything.
You're not responsible for that.
We literally had Myles Garrett doing a crossover move right before the snap, and then just tossing the center to the side and going right at Joe Burrow. I can't control trading for Tyreek and having him be the top scorer of all time. Probably.
Trading for him, trading him away.
trading him away. And then
getting you can down. Actually control that though, boy.
You did. You were in complete control.
Yeah. What a week.
Fail 73. I mean, let's talk about it. Week one was something. I mean, Canute is a top two scorer, three victory point earner. Canute, check in with us. How are we feeling on what is it, Thursday at 12:02 p.m.?
You know, I don't know if I've ever been able to overreact to a week more than this, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to win the league now. I have no reason to think otherwise. I mean, We might have to go 13-0. I have no reason to think otherwise. No, I mean, it was a fun week. There's a lot of guys that way overperform what they're probably going to do the rest of the year. But
yeah,
we had an absolute blast. I was sweating it out until that very last Jimmy Garoppolo to Jacoby Myers touchdown. I was out at a farm site, kind of doing a fun outdoor activity for a church event, and one of the guys came up to me, goes, "You're not going to believe it." Cause I told there's some youth there. And I told him ahead of time, we were rooting for Jacoby Myers, and they came up and they doused me in water and they were all just like hooting and hollering. And then I just lost it. It was so fun. I mean, and Eli played actually a really good week, and I feel bad for Eli.
Don't say that. No, you don't.
I do. He's a great manager. And I think if he plays, well, frankly, he plays almost the entire rest of the league. He gets a 3-VP win last week, and that's just how it falls. But I go up against Ben this week, so I have a good feeling I'll be brought back to reality. But for now, we're dreaming, baby.
Dude, 1-0, I can only fathom what that must feel like. Having no blemishes. Bort and I sitting here, 0-1 each of us. Bort, who did you go up against last week? Do we want to just hop into breakdowns right away?
Yeah, let's
do it. Into what happened last week?
Yeah. So I went up against Matt, and both of us, it was the battle of the mid off because all of our guys underperformed. Year three supposed to be stepping up. Justin Fields did not look good. The 12-4 Bears are off to a rocky start because they've only got three more losses that they can have. So
who said they were going to be 12-4?
Some analyst said they were winning the North and going 12-4.
Oh my gosh.
Starting
I want that job.
Yeah. And so the Bengals sucked. Who else did I have? Washington Commanders almost lost to the Cardinals. So that means Howell played decent. Looked like he had never played a game of football out there though. Which Dotson didn't play well. Jordan Love played okay for Matt. And yeah, he just had a couple more guys. I think it was like what, 94 to 90. So
yeah, 94.25 to 91.7.
Yeah. So like a 3.5 point victory. So, I mean, it was close, but, definitely should not have been.
No, you get a touchdown from Burrow to anybody and you get maybe another, and you get, just a touchdown from Burrow, and that's a game.
And maybe if I start Puka Nacua,
I mean, were you going to start? Are you going to start him this week?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Bort's staring 0-2 down and he's like, hey, you know what's gonna be fun? Puka Nacua in my fourth flex spot.
You know what? If I'm going out, I'm going out having fun. That's all I'm gonna say.
Wait, you can't, but if you go 0-2, you can't throw in the towel. Are you throwing the towel in at 0-2? Oh,
no, but I'm just gonna have fun. It's gonna be a fun year. Tank Dell may end up in the starting lineup. Who knows?
Oh boy, okay.
Oh boy.
Canute, your matchup with Eli. Mm-hmm. What was the factor that tilted it in your edge? I'm looking at the matchups right now. CJ and Goff played pretty similar. Olave going for 20 points was huge for you.
It was just a top to bottom good week. Jacoby Myers putting up darn near 30 points. That was really the it factor. Give him a more pedestrian outing, and this game is probably 115, and I probably have 110. And lose it by 5. But
I like that we
go ahead.
No, you go.
No, and you know, Dobbs have 2 touchdowns. Everybody really showed up, obviously, except for the one glaring goose egg on there with Drake London. But we'll go into that. The Falcons offense is a disaster. It is it's the most rush heavy team in the modern era. It is the second most rush heavy offense in a starting game in the 21st century. And I don't see that changing. So we're just going to have to ride it out. He'll come back, you know, fly Hawks fly, but it's going to take some time. And it was hard to see that, but to get a win regardless, love
that
it.
Feels good.
I think the real upside of your team, Canute, the thing that kind of like gets me excited for you is that it's like, okay, yeah, maybe, you know, Myers isn't going to go for 30 each week, but also London is not going to go for 0. But then if you scroll down on your bench and it's like, okay, you put Curtis Samuel in, you put in Darnell Mooney, you put in Zay Flowers, you put in Sam Laporta, you've got
Let's go
plug into that flex spot that it's like, okay, you can really let London sit on your bench until that Falcons offense gets better. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, and Dobbs looked really good. That connection with Love looks pretty nice. You've got a nice little squad. If you could get a little bit more production out of Stroud, and you know, Jimmy did what Jimmy's going to do. Like that's what he's going to, I mean, he literally outplayed
that's a Jimmy game
projection.
For sure.
He outplayed his projection by 0.01.
Yes, exactly.
That has to go down to maybe one of the most accurate predictions ever.
Has to be.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
I will say, you know, my team, I've got 12 players that hit double digit scores in week one.
Awesome.
That's wonderful. But you're right, you know, to not have a QB up there, having a QB being able to break that 20 threshold. Yeah, it holds me back from probably truly being a top end team. But if I can continue to have really stable and make sure I can always break 100, mm-hmm. we saw it this week. If you have a fantasy team that can always break 100, you can have a winning record in our league.
And you could be in factor for that 7th spot if you keep scoring points.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. 1,300 points, you know, 13 weeks by 100 points a week puts you right in the money. Or 1,400 weeks times 100 points a week. Obviously, and I got a little extra this week, but as long as you always keep it above that 100 average,
mm-hmm.
1,400 can be the playoff team, you know, and that would have been the playoff team. I think in some years I'll have to go back and check for sure, but –
I was just going to ask, what's been the threshold for the playoff teams in total points of previous years? I'm curious what that is.
I will look as we go here.
Because there's a much larger faction of tankers in previous years than there are this year, or teams that are even going to be bad.
Well, and you got to think too, there's teams like Ben last year, mm-hmm. who he just so happened to go up against great teams when his team played well. I think he had like 2,000 points in that final spot.
Wild.
Because he went up against Chris and he lost to Chris scoring like 150. And he went up against Dan Krause again, probably scoring 140 points and losing. So it was
same thing, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's like you couldn't catch a freaking break. And so like that's how he ended up getting into the last playoff spot. But
are you looking it up?
Yep, I got it here. So Ben made it in last year with over 1790, like you talked about, but the seventh team would have had 15, okay. 15. Let's see. Let's go back all the way.
Because it was Eli, right?
Yeah. Would have been Eli next up. Oh, and he had 1647. So you'd have to average. That's about 120-ish a week, give or take. So you got to, I mean, you'd have to be able to continue to be able to produce at that level. But having all your starters being able to break 10 points and then get one or two that can get over 15, there you go. The year before that, I believe Sam was our last team in. Josh was our last team in with 1730. But in that one, it'd be 1671. Brent was the first team out. So very similar in that regard. And then obviously going back to our last year, which where we had the most tanking teams.
Yeah.
So a little different. Eli made it in with 1697. Next man up would have been 1569.
Okay.
With Jonathan. So I think that 1500 number probably gets you there. It'll be interesting because, like we talked about, talent is so much more spread out this year because we don't have teams selling all their starters to other teams, at least yet. So I got a feeling league average scoring might decrease. You're going to have your top end guys and you're going to have your low end guys, but we'll have to see.
Well, that's why, like, all those records that Jeremy has where he was putting up the 200s, and Josh, I think he's got one in there too, but like those types of numbers, I think we may still see somebody hit 200. I mean, we saw Kamish push it this year. Or this
Where did he finish?
I think like 180, because Daniel Jones ended up putting up a stinker.
That's still so many points that you'd need to get.
And so that's why I think we could still see it this year. But as years go on and teams start selling less and less players for picks, I think eventually too, we're going to have a team that starts a sell-off because they realize I have no picks and my players are getting older and starting to produce less. They may need to start selling off, but who knows? That may be in 2 years.
Well, and what I think of, like, you mentioned your team, you had how many players scoring 10 points?
12. Yep. A dozen. Yep.
Or 12 of them. Okay. Pardon me. So in my eyes, where that may not seem to some governors or even myself as like something that I want to achieve, but what that does for teams like teams like you is it puts you conceivably one piece away or much fewer pieces away. If you already have the core of, hey, I'm starting eight of these guys. I'm really needing to only necessarily go out and target two superstars or a superstar and a plus player. If I can do that with the picks that you've accumulated. So it's like, I love the go for the playoffs now because you have all the ammunition you need to be able to say, hey, if I make the playoffs, but I wasn't able to get over the hump this year, what can I turn into real players that are going to, they're going to push you over the hump in the years to come. And you beat another team that's right there with you. I would say, Eli, he's trying the same thing. And I think for him, again, biggest question marks for him is quarterback. Even though he has Cam Akers, who I don't love starting that ever. And I still would rather take Cam Akers in my running back spot than I would having Russell Wilson or Jared Goff as my quarterbacks. So despite the fact that he got 24 from Calvin Ridley, which I, as a T-Law owner, love to see, I love him having Waddle in Miami. I don't hate that he's built on receiver, but he took the loss this week due to, I would say, Jacoby Myers. What I hate about my matchup is Jeremy was beatable this week. 112. And I was never close. It wasn't, I knew it was over by the time Sky Moore had played a half of football on Thursday night, like knowing that I wasn't going to get anything from him, despite the fact that I was adamant on keeping him in my lineup. Bryce played like a rookie, and T-Law played okay, good enough to get a win, but wasn't going to be a world beater. My team is not going to be great this year, and that's tough, but week one, I don't know, 0-1, not feeling great, but I go into a much more favorable matchup into week two. So I'm hopeful I can bring it back to 1-1 and potentially claim a third victory point.
Yeah, you need to put Kendrick Bourne into your lineup and maybe start James Conner too.
Yeah, Kendrick Bourne, nice buddy.
Oh, that's right. You traded him for 2/3. He's gonna be the Geno Smith of this year.
The who? Geno Smith?
Yeah, he went for 2/3 last year.
Oh, funny. Oh, hey,
Hey, if 28-year-old Kendrick Bourne ends up being the piece that I needed to make the playoffs, then so be it.
Wow. All right. Well, continuing down, what do you guys want to – I mean, I think the next most interesting matchup to me, for very different reasons, is DFT versus Sam.
Yes.
This was a tough one.
We need to talk about it.
I first of all, Sam, I am sorry this happened to you. To go into that game, even at halftime, and feel like you have it in the bag, I'm sorry. That's hard. That's a rough break. But Diggs is going to Diggs, and what do?
You take your lumps. Mm-hmm. And thank your lucky stars that you traded for Derek Carr during the draft.
Yes.
If Sam doesn't make that move, I'm just thinking big picture. Oh, my goodness. So he's got two QBs rest of the year, Carr and
Stafford,
who Stafford, in my opinion, looked great. Decent.
Yeah, he was pretty good. He played a good game.
Without Kupp, and if Kupp is really only on the IR for 4 weeks, I don't think Stafford's a horrible QB for this year.
I mean, look at this.
But this matchup with DFT was an absolute train wreck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's what I think a lot of this showed in week one. Like, just about everybody is beatable. Like, obviously we had our top guys, including Canute this week, but you had Jonathan versus Chris, which was a really good matchup. And then Ben showing, you know, Canute's meme was absolutely perfect. He's flexing his champ muscles.
Yeah.
And it looks like the moves that he made this offseason are paying off. So, you know, props to him. Ayuk, wow.
Looks like wow, indeed.
The real deal, maybe. Is he better than Deebo Samuel?
I don't know. Yes, he is much better than Deebo Samuel.
I wouldn't have said that, though, a year ago, which was interesting.
Really?
For Deebo over Ayuk. But, yeah. He looks good, and then
he looks phenomenal.
And then, yeah, we had the
battle. ETN got 23 carries week one with Tank Bigsby, who had a lot of hype coming in. So ETN, in my opinion, isn't going anywhere. Tony Pollard had only 16 touches, but he had 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the acquisitions that coming into this year, I was really curious to see. How they would pan out for Ben. And week one is looking, I mean, Ben would take 167 with his eyes closed. He would even take 167 minus 30. I'm sure Ben, if he was like, hey, you tell me I'm averaging 130 points a week, it'd be great. So starting off with 167, love it.
And interestingly, his bench, you know, he was one of the teams we talked about in the offseason having some depth issues, but Nico Collins has emerged as the wide receiver one-ish in Houston, which isn't the greatest accomplishment, but it sounds like Brandon Cooks is probably hurt. So Nico could emerge as a solid and stable, you know, if he can have 10-ish targets, that's Cooks saying is something. Gone. Isn't Brandon Cooks in Houston?
No, Dallas. He's in Dallas.
Well, don't ever
Noah Brown. Noah Brown. No, I think you're thinking of Noah Brown.
Yes, who's also hurt.
Yes.
Yes, there we go. Well, okay, regardless, Nico has forged a path for him to probably be the leading receiver in Houston is a wide receiver one, but if he can put up 80 yards with 6 receptions every week, that's a great performance.
Sneak a touchdown in there.
Yep. And then Mr. Atwell out of Los Angeles, you know, taking advantage of the cupless Rams. And like we talked about, Stafford isn't washed, at least right now. And he's slinging the ball around there. I mean, Bort obviously has his very exciting Nacua. And Atwell looks interesting as well. So, I don't know. Ben's team, I sent the meme for a reason. I did not believe in Ben, but he is he is scary. 167 out of the chute in a week where offenses across the league looked poop.
Not wow. good. Yeah.
So stop trading with Ben, please.
We were hyping DFT's team, and he drops 83.85, mostly from a 27-point performance from Stephon Diggs. Saquon had 7.8.
Clarify we.
Last week on the podcast, okay, me, Ben, and Jeremy were hyping up DFT's team. And they made it seem like DFT was a force to be reckoned with. But he's got two wide receiver twos in Christian Kirk and Tyler Lockett. He's got Stephon Diggs. But Saquon was 7.8 points. Derrick Henry didn't score a touchdown. Joe Mixon was not efficient in his touches. Goddard posted a zero burger. And the Eagles won. And Kelsey's hurt. Granted, Kelsey's going to be back, so there's 20 points.
I really think, barring injury, this is DFT's season low. I have a hard time believing his team, again, unless somebody gets hurt, scores under 100 again all year. I still like Dan's team. I think he's going to rebound. This was a series of bad events. I don't think the Giants offense ever looked that bad again. Maybe. But that was a really bad game.
I'm curious why he started Ridder over Purdy.
I think he said in the chat at one point he was trying to like moneyball matchups and try and play smart. Mm. And he liked Carolina over Pittsburgh, but obviously that was a mistake, and I don't think he'll make that mistake again all season.
He won't start Ridder ever again unless it's a bye.
Exactly. Ridder is, wow. That is an NFL quarterback right there, gentlemen.
I mean, I'm not even sure I can blame Ridder. I truly think it's the offense.
I think Arthur Smith is one of the worst offensive coaches. I shouldn't say worst because they won the game. So at the end of the day, I don't know if I could coach a win.
And if I'm Jonathan, Bijan looked amazing, right? Yep. Bijan looked fantastic, and so did Algier. Mm-hmm. And that's how they're going to do it. Model it like the 2019, 2020 Green Bay Packers, where they were Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, and Rodgers threw for 28 touchdowns instead of 45. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure if he comes from that system, but that's what it looks like to me. I mean, Pitts led the offense with two catches and 44 yards in the passing game. What?
If Ridder throws for 28 touchdowns, I would be very surprised.
Right, and I'm thinking he throws for 18.
Yeah, I would take the under on 20.
12. I'm thinking like 12.
Let's look what Vegas said it is. Keep talking. I want to see what his season total was.
So, I mean, fine to have him as your third quarterback if you're DFT. But yeah, like you said, Knut, he will not be making that mistake again. Mark and Josh had a potential battle for last place week one. Mark needed one or two more catches from Dalton Kincaid, regardless of the yards. And he had basically a whole half and a half of football to do it and couldn't get it done. And I remember seeing pings of Mark in Pigskin saying something to the like of Dalton Kincaid is open. Every fucking route or whatever. He's open every play. So Mark takes the loss. I don't think Mark has a shot to win another matchup. This was his shot. Josh underperformed his projection by 20 points.
Yeah. I don't know if I see it. I mean, is Rashid Shaheed ever going to get a 19 point performance again? And Pickett is pretty bad.
Pickett does not look good.
Well, the next three, I mean, he goes up against Eli this week and then Ben next week. So you don't know. And then he goes up against Pete in week four.
He could beat me.
He could beat you.
He could beat me.
Well, and
I'm not going to say anything about week four yet.
He does have Josh Kelly now, potentially starting running back at least for a couple weeks in Los Angeles.
Kendrick Bourne.
Yes, Kendrick Bourne.
He may do what we've seen some teams that were struggling do, which is just go out and get a bunch of mid-level tight ends who can hopefully just through five receptions and 50 yards score 10 points. Yeah. And that might, I mean, he's got like Troutman from Denver on his bench, scored 10. There's a world where he could try and raise his floor by just starting a bunch of jag tight ends. But I, right now, this current roster, can Mark's team get to 100 points?
As it stands right now?
Right now. No trades.
No. Right. I don't think so. I think it's an 85 win team on any given week. You'll have the ingredients out in the atmosphere to like put together an optimal 104 point lineup. But on any given week, when you are putting in Troutman over somebody else and you're making these changes, and now Gray isn't in your lineup because Kelsey's back, you'll get, oh, you have an 18 point performance on your bench because a guy has 60 yards and a touchdown from a tight end, and he's the only tight end you didn't start, or something like that. I don't know. I just don't see it happening. It was close this week. It came down to the last game of the week. Jonathan's team.
Wow. You talk about, this might be one of the more boom or bust teams we've seen in a while. I mean, I shouldn't say that because I think his floor is still really, really high. But man, oh man, when he goes off and he can get a few touchdowns all in the same week, this guy, he's going to score a stupid. You talk about a team that could get to the 200 threshold. Jonathan's team has the path to the two. If Daniel Jones can be competent for a week, and then Richardson does what Richardson did this week again, so you add 20 points right there, that gets him to 195. I could see around. Now, is Tyreek Hill going to score 45 again? No, it's one of the top. I think, is it a top 10 all-time performance or not? Yeah, so there you go.
Top 15 if it's not 10.
Yeah. We kind of knew that he needed a tight end, and it maybe looks like Darren Waller might not be the guy for that. But again, New York's offense is probably not as bad ever again as it was this week.
And he had 22 from Algier on his bench.
Yep.
And yeah, 17 from Kyren Williams.
Swap out DJ Moore for either of those two guys, and he's within spitting distance and a touchdown from it. I think his optimal lineup was over 200, wasn't it?
I would imagine. And then not to mention Jonathan Taylor coming back in week 5. So then he'll trot out, oh, just a simple little lineup of Daniel Jones, Bijan Robinson, Tyreek Hill, Darren Waller, Michael Pittman, Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, and Jonathan Taylor, and Anthony Richardson. So, I mean,
I want to see a lineup where
that's crazy. That is crazy.
Flex spots have a wide receiver. All of his flex spots are filled with running backs. Can we?
That's what I want to see, minimum position players played besides running back.
I don't know if he'll get there, because does he have two running backs that could pass? Because he's got to get over Michael Pittman is the challenge.
Maybe Algier.
Sell Michael Pittman for a running back, Kamish. You won't.
Hey, I will credit him. He tried.
I love it.
I said, no, thanks. I just traded for this guy. I can't trade him again. Just out of principle.
Right. I hear you.
Like, come back to me in 2 weeks. Yeah. He was like, come back to me in 2 weeks. But no, not going to happen. I mean, and Chris didn't even have that bad of a lineup. Patrick had 21. Aaron Jones had 25. He was a top 5 running back this week. He was number 1. So, but 127, like, wasn't going to be close ever. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those instances like Ben last year. Hey, you would have won your matchup if you would have played anybody else. Seemingly. Yeah. And Chris got one victory point for top 7, but he'll be on his search for victory points 2, 3, and potentially 4 this week. That's about it for last week. Mm-hmm. It seems. Did we go over everything? Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah. Bork, did you want to say anything more about your matchup, or do you not want to talk about it?
I will not talk about it. We're on to week 2.
All right. Week two, baby.
You're not responsible for the blocking, not responsible for anything.
No, I will not take any responsibility. I only want to be credited when my team wins, but I want none of the blame when my team loses.
Well, that makes fantastic sense.
He's the anti quarterback.
I am the DJT of fail. Donald J. Trump. He wants all the credit. Yeah.
Wow, political board, jeepers. What a world.
I know. No politics. No politics. On to week two.
Week two. Pick a matchup to get us started with, Brent. Who do you want to start with?
Oh, man. Let's go with the matchup of the week. Probably going to be... Let's go with Ben versus Knute. Matchup of the week.
No way. Bort, what do you want, buddy? All right, here we go. Here we go. All right, boys.
Okay, it's good to see Sam Laporta finally in the starting lineup. You learned. Guys,
let's go. Flowers,
thank you. Higby, Jacoby Myers, Jimmy Garoppolo. Tua is going up against a New England defense that I feel is much better than probably one of the worst rated defenses in the Chargers. So he's not going to do what he did last week, which obviously means good things for Knute. And I'm seeing a lot of red. So Njoku going up against Pittsburgh, Ayuk going up against the Rams, Pollard going up against the Jets. And he's got AJ Brown going up against Minnesota. Minnesota's going up against Philly. So he's got Kirk Cousins going up against the Eagles.
That's not a good matchup.
I don't think so either. So
our offensive line is horrible.
I think it's going to be close. I don't know if Knute can pull off the win, but hey, sneaky Knute can pull off a 2-0 and beat the champ.
Wow. Hey, what I will pose is this: if Knute beats the champ, he has 6 victory points through 2 weeks because there's no way he beats Ben and isn't top 7.
Correct.
Yeah, that's fair.
But he has to beat Ben first.
I appreciate the eternal optimism of fellow podfathers. I think Ben probably beats me by about 15 to 20 here. But I'm just hoping I can stay in that like 115 to 120 total score range. That's the goal. You're right. Some of the matchups are poor, but I still don't see a world where Ben is much under 120. So it's going to be rougher-oony unless, again, you get another stack, you know, Jacoby Myers scores 2 touchdowns thrown by Jimmy Garoppolo. Who knows? But right. I don't see that as super likely. So more than likely, Ben wins this one. But I hope he's sweating going into Monday night. I just want him to fear for himself.
Who does he have going into Monday night? Or who do you have?
I have Chris Olave.
and he's got Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
And David Njoku.
I mean, I'd be happy if like he had a decent size, but not massive lead. And he could be like, oh man, if Olave puts up 25, Knute could win this thing. That's what I want. So
2 Monday night games.
Here's how I look at your matchup with Ben Knute. You are starting 3 rookies. Ben is starting 0.
Uh-huh.
Just based off of that, I have to pick Ben.
Exactly.
To win. I absolutely do think you can make it close. And I think I love the way you're framing it too, is aiming for point thresholds rather than I want to win. Like, duh, that's a given. But the team overall performance from a holistic year-long perspective, I think, is a much healthier way of looking at roster construction. And it keeps us owners who like to get antsy and make moves and try to improve. It keeps a little bit of a governor on us. And it helps frame the moves we make, and probably more importantly, the moves we choose not to make.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ben goes 2-0 though. I mean, yeah.
Okay. I agree.
I think
Ben does win too. I think it'll be a fun one. The other one probably would be Dan Krause versus Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that. He had a bad week too. He's 1-0. Dan had a bad week. He's 1-0. What can these teams do? Because now Dan was projected for like 130, I think, last week. Now he's projected for like 146.
I know.
And Kelsey. Matt is projected for 105. So yeah, Kelsey coming back is big. But if Kelsey does not come back and he has to start Dallas Goedert again, Did a Bucks tight end have a single catch against the Vikings last week?
Couldn't tell you.
So if Goddard had zero last week, I don't foresee him scoring any more points this week against Minnesota. And so, to be honest, I mean, if I am Dan, are you not putting Goddard at least in your tight end spot? Because if Goddard plays tonight and Kelsey's ruled out, he's got to start CJ Uzoma in his tight end position. But
oh, that's a good point. I think it's pretty well determined that Kelsey's going to play, right?
He just practiced yesterday for the first time, so I don't know.
I would imagine he's trending to play. They made it a game time decision last week.
Did they?
And it's been, I mean, probably not. They probably made the decision as soon as they knew what it was, but I think you still keep Goddard in your lineup. And yeah, you're probably right, Bort. He probably does need to put him in his tight end spot, even though you don't like doing that on a Thursday. You have to for flexibility because of Kelsey.
Agreed. I think, go ahead.
No, I don't have anything to say.
I think if Kelsey plays, it's a revenge tour. I think Mahomes misses his big baby and intends to. I would put Kelsey on like 150 yards, 1.5 touchdowns, and maybe 10 to 15 receptions.
I would.
It's going to be it'll be a revenge tour.
Yeah. I would tend to disagree a little bit. I think the target share would be there, but also if he's really coming off, like from what the sounds of it was, pretty bad bone bruise, will there be some sort of snap count? You know, like, can they get the ball down the field without him, throw him in there for the red zone, which still is where he gets his points, you know, catching touchdowns, like that's really where they need him. But do you really risk it against a Jaguars team who is a good team? You know, you want him out there for the big moments, but you know, maybe there is some sort of snap count. Granted, he could still get those targets, but is he going to be as fast and as mobile with a knee issue?
Maybe not. I mean, but even still, as we've established, if he can do 5 targets, a touchdown, and 100 yards, wow, that's a lot of points.
Like, that's guaranteed a top 3 tight end week.
Yeah. So, and I do not see a world where if he can put up over 25, just by that DFT can lose this matchup.
No.
Maybe Justin Fields has a resurgence, but this Tampa defense that the Bears are going up against is pretty darn good.
It's no joke. And their O-line is worse than ours, I would argue.
Yeah, and we saw how well he was able to handle that level of pressure. I mean, I think there's a very realistic chance that both of Matt's QBs struggle this week, because Atlanta's defense is the real deal too, and where Chicago's defense might be one of the worst in the NFL. So I think Jordan Love got to feast on that a little bit. So I'm also hoping, because I hate both of those two teams, but
they tie.
They both need to lose. No, but I don't know. I mean, it could be a fun week. We did not see Gibbs on the field as much as I think a lot of the stat people thought that we would ahead of time. So it could be a slow start for Matt, but he's building. He's cooking.
What's he cooking?
Pull up. Let him cook. But Matt will go. Matt will go 0-2. Or no, 1-1. Sorry, Matt. Apologies. I don't think Chris and Josh is going to be even as close as Sleeper thinks.
No,
if Kelsey's back, I think Mahomes probably goes for close to 30 points. And that's only 5 over his projected 25.5. Recently traded, which we need to talk about, Josh Jacobs is in Chris's lineup going up against Buffalo. That's green for some reason. I mean, it's just Josh has 2 quarterbacks and that's about it.
Yeah. I think this is a 40-point game, probably, unless we see another. But even last week, a down week for Chris was still a 40-point win. It was a 40-point win over where Josh was. So I still have a pretty good feeling Chris wins this one comfortably. And I think before even the afternoon slot on Sunday, he feels pretty comfortable.
Yeah, this matchup, even with Jonathan and Sam, isn't nearly as exciting as the week one matchups. I mean,
no, not near as compelling.
Sam gets to trot out newly minted Najee Harris, but he's also starting Kadarius Toney and Jaden Reed. Whereas we know who Jonathan's going to start. I play Texas Dan. That's going to be close, and I hate it. I'm a 10-point favorite, and I will take the – nope, it's going to be way closer than that.
Excuse me, you mean Dan 2QBP right there.
Yeah,
that is,
come on.
That is a two-quarterback team right there.
This is two-quarterback team for the rest of the year.
One of them.
Damn, so you owe him $10, and he's going to beat you this
and
week?
And he's going to beat me. That's tough.
Yikes, Scoobs.
Sorry.
Pete, it's Uncle. Not that I'm cheering. It's Uncle. Not that I'm cheering against you, but Jeremy has Dan's first.
Oh, I want Dan to beat me.
I hope Dan wins the rest of the year.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Except when he plays me, but that's fine.
Dan can be our champ. Come on, Dan.
He will not be the champ.
I mean, I have Breece Hall, and if he gets a little bit more carry, if he gets a few more carries and is even a fourth as productive as he was on Monday night, I am stoked. But like, I don't like starting Kyle Pitts, but I feel like I have to.
Trade him to me.
And I'm not going to trade him. He's going to sit on my bench, or I'm going to start him and regret it every week. I don't know.
I think
my wide receivers worry me the most.
Yeah. Kyle Pitts is tough. I know he's not a wide receiver, but the point stands. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Debo's floor, because he's such a gadget player, and the Los Angeles defense against Seattle looked pretty good. And again, maybe all the offenses just aren't ready because we don't really have a preseason anymore, but right. That it seemed okay. And that's a good, you know, tough sign for Debo, but could be kind of interesting. Burks without Hopkins has potential, but
true. Is Hopkins out this week?
Not officially, but he's limited in practice.
Still questionable, yeah.
And Bort, did you trade him or do you still have him?
He's on my bench right now.
Oof.
So, I don't know. I mean,
and Bryce Young against New Orleans, Bryce Young has no weapons. I watched his game on Sunday. He has nobody to throw
Hayden
the ball
Hurst,
to.
Hayden Hurst, baby.
Hey,
Hayden Hurst can have his. I'm more than okay with that.
DJ Shark is coming back this week. It's going to be DJ Shark.
Is he? Okay. Mm-hmm. But like, even the fact that Bryce has to rely on DJ Shark or Adam Thielen or Jonathan Mingo or Hayden Hurst, it's like, this is the first overall pick in the league. What are you doing?
That is pretty cruel to make your rookie.
That's horrible.
Through that.
So like, that's why I'm bullshitting in Pigskin about trading Diggs to Carolina. Like, I'll take anybody at this point who Bryce can throw to, who can get open, because he doesn't have anybody. It reminds me of Trevor Lawrence, his first year in Jacksonville.
Yep.
Nobody.
I was
nobody
just
to throw the ball
that.
To.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean other than, again, DJ
other
Shark.
Other than DJ Shark, who was 2 years younger. So it's just like, okay. I know that's, I have to be patient, but seeing 8 points week one against Atlanta and probably seeing something similar, some similar output this year or this week from him against New Orleans doesn't have me stoked, but I'm excited for the future. Yep. I'm building.
What is he building in there?
What's he building in there, huh?
I love it.
Oh, just an attempt at a dynasty. That's all.
No, good on you. Next matchup for me, I see, is our good friend Bort against Jeremy. We'll talk about this one next, boys.
Yeah.
All right. My initial thoughts, I think it's a bit of a comeback week for both teams. I mean, I think both would consider what they had last week as a big disappointment in various regards. And I think similarly, both teams probably increase their score by somewhere between 20 to 30 points. Unfortunately for Bort, that probably means there's still a little bit of a gap there. Unless Burrow and Chase decide they're going to just punish Baltimore for the sins of Cleveland, and it won't matter. Unfortunately, I think Baltimore's defense is ready to shut Jamar down, so we'll see what that looks like. But I don't know. I mean, Bort, why are you so insistent on starting Sam Howell over Dak Prescott? I cannot understand why you are so hell-bent on that.
It worked last week, and Dak is going up against one of the top defenses, in my opinion, in the Jets. So I'm going with my stacks. I'm going with my stacks. I'm going this week, if you could look at my lineup, I did change it up. I am going with strictly absolute boom players. I am going hoping that they can boom. Similar, maybe some of them, I think what they did last week, you know, I can get something similar out of Puka, something similar out of Hurst.
Similar out of Puka? Please, for the people, what was Puka's line last week?
He had 22 points or something.
10 receptions and 119 yards.
Yeah.
Puka can do something similar to 10 catches and 119 yards again.
Maybe not the exact same stat line, but the same point. If he could catch a touchdown with
80 yards,
60 less yards.
Same output.
Could be.
Okay.
2A. No.
Against all the right. San Francisco defense, probably not. But you never know. You never know.
Cheers and to that.
This is
buddy.
Why you play fantasy.
And I would argue one of the biggest reasons that Cincinnati struggled last week is because that pass rush of Cleveland is going to be scary no matter who they go up against. And I would argue that Baltimore doesn't have quite the pass rush, but they have a little bit of a better secondary. But we've seen what Joe can do with a good secondary. He can shred them, slice them, dice them. And Jamar,
however you want it, whichever style.
Yeah, you can slice them or dice them. I don't care. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, revenge week. I am coming for Jeremy. And I'm probably going to eat these words in 72 hours? So
I'll eat them with you because I think Bort wins. Let's go.
Whoa.
Whoa. Let's go.
That's what I'm thinking. I think JJ does not thrive against Philly.
I hope I'm wrong.
But yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's got to start Khalil Herbert and James Cook. James Cook looked really nice, and Las Vegas has never had a defense in their whole life. So
that's true.
James could probably run wild, but I think I'm gonna take the Bort report.
Jamal Williams looked pretty good. David Montgomery looked pretty good. If Kittle does what he did last week, that would be really nice.
You need Pat F to have two tutties.
I know he caught one last minute last week.
And you need Ramondre to find. You need to score a lot of touchdowns in your lineup. That's what.
I need the Steelers to be held in check. And Herbert is going up against a better defense in Tennessee as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope you're right. It would be way more fun to have you win. I just think this is a Josh Allen revenge game. He looked pretty trash last week against one of the better, if not the best, backfields in the league. But I do think, I will say, whatever Josh Allen's turnover over under was, I want the over because he's gonna throw a lot of picks this year. He might be the next reincarnation of Brett Favre.
I heard a better one, and I think it's more of like a Peyton Manning. He tried like Peyton Manning would be great, 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 and Peyton Manning would try and take over the game when he didn't need to, and he threw a lot more interceptions than Brett Favre.
That's not true. Brett Favre has the all-time receptions record by a country mile.
That's not close.
I think Peyton Manning is still better.
You said bro is Peyton Manning, a.k.a. the second-best quarterback of all time.
Brett Favre was literally called the gunslinger, which is exactly what Josh Allen is doing week in and week out. And sometimes those gunslinging go and land his touchdowns, but if Diggs isn't right there, then guess what? It's an interception. So,
and if Diggs is not there at all.
Short all Bills players, short all Bills offense, short. We want, nope. That team without Diggs, both twofold. One, his reception ability, one of the best route runners in the NFL. And two, his ability to draw double coverage every single play. short James Cook because they're going to load the box, short Gabe Davis and company because they're going to be able to spread defense around. I want nothing to do with the Bills offense if Diggs decides to pout like a little baby again.
Say it. Oh, I wanted like you to say bitch. It. I wanted you to say it so bad. Now we get to mark this episode as explicit, finally.
I think with our intro.
Yeah,
true.
Oh, all right. Next matchup, Mark and Eli.
Eli.
Eli by a not super short distance, I think. I think Eli rebounds nicely this week. I think a lot of his players had struggled, come back to earth a little bit, and I think Eli wins this one.
Yeah. Any other matchups? DFT and Matt. Oh, we already talked about it. I think that's it.
I think that's the week. Do you want to talk about the two trades?
Quick. Yeah, two trades. Kendrick Bourne for 2/3. My thought process was I turn one fob dollar into 2/3 round picks. One in 24, one in 26. Again, if I said, like I said, if Kendrick Bourne is the player who I needed to make the playoffs, then that's on me.
Alrighty, that's an interesting take, but I'm not going to have a lot of comments on that trade, to be honest. Bort, do you have any takes on that trade?
I've already made them known.
Okay. The other trade, considerably bigger, Josh Jacobs and a 4th for everyone's favorite receiver in the whole wide league, Cortland Sutton, and Najee Harris and a 3rd. That is something.
I don't know how to feel about this. I feel like you guys have more thoughts than I do. I could take either side on this.
All right. So I said this already, and Sam added to it as well. I had offered Nuke, Kamara, and a 1st for Jacobs and Josh Downs. Now, that was my offer. It was never countered. I probably would have considered doing that just for Jacobs because I was pretty running back desperate. But it is what it is. I personally don't like Najee or Cortland, so I feel a type of way about the trade. The 3rds and the 4ths don't matter to me at all. But I think Chris got the running back that he needed. And Cortland Sutton is not a piece that's necessary for him. He sold his farm a long time ago for his bench. He has no bench, but we've seen what he can do with teams that have absolutely no bench. So
you think this is a runaway for Sam or runaway for Chris?
Runaway, maybe not, but a win.
Lopsided. Yeah.
I don't know, Bort. It's pretty hypocritical for you to be touting Puka Nacua and then saying 3rds are irrelevant. That's all I'm saying. That's it's a tough
thing. What's irrelevant?
3rds.
They're not irrelevant to me because I know how to find a diamond.
Okay.
All right. Wow. You dirty dog.
Wow. I think this trade is fine. That's the way I look at it. I mean, all of the trade offers I sent to Sam, including Jacobs, were for not any players that were going to score him points. So I was offering him very different kinds of deals than what Chris was. Sam has told everyone who wants to trade with him, he wants to stay in contention. He wants to keep having players that score points. So to be able to maybe take a step back, a step and a half back at running back, but score a wide receiver who's probably going to start in his lineup every week, I don't really fault the guy. I mean, I think I tried to get a couple offers, but I just don't have a running back that he would want. I mean, and I'm not going to send Alexander Mattison. So I have no trade bitterness that I didn't get something because all of mine were, oh, here's a bunch of firsts because, which maybe in a calculator, they'd have been higher value, but to what Sam wanted and to what Sam needed, he wanted Najee and points to him.
Yeah. And that I think is what we continue to find out about the governors in this league is that like Sam has told, like you said, he's told me same thing. He's like, hey, I would get a first, but I'm not looking to keep it. That doesn't do anything for me. I'm looking for players. And so that limits the market, or maybe it focuses the market. If you want to think of it that way, it focuses the market as to who you can and can't make deals with, or who else you need to get. You need to get involved to make it a potential three-way.
Yeah. What I've really noticed now, year four of competition? I think so. I think you two are unbelievable. For those of you listening at home in this audio only format, the two dorks are absolutely losing their minds, but don't worry. I will narrate my way through it. All right, you two, mute yourselves while you recover. Don't worry. I think that we really only have about 6 to 7 governors that really have any interest in picks at all, which does two things. It both heavily inflates it to about half the group and deflates them almost to nothing for the other half, which is a really challenging battle to have to be able to endure, but lest we persist. All right, are you two back yet?
I'm back. I agree on the first because like at first I was really hesitant about trading, especially like long-term first down the road, 26 back like the 24 when we were in 2022, because we still had 23 and then to 24. I hated hemorrhaging a current asset for a future first. Mm-hmm. And now I, you know, like with the Tyreek trade, like the only first that I was getting back was a 2026 first. And I didn't love the idea of it, but now I'm kind of looking at, you know, I personally think that I got somewhat of an asset who obviously struggled. He is not on Tyreek's level, but I was looking more at the future and, you know, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but I think I have a young, promising receiver plus a first in a couple of years that if things don't go my way, I've got two firsts already in 26. And I can sell some assets to maybe get a 25, 26, you know, and know that I'm building for 2 years down the road, as long as nobody repeats. So,
because if your team could float and be a 7 seed pretty easily without having to get rid of much. And so it's like, oh, if you already have that pretty much guaranteed, or at least you're entered into the playoff conversation year after year after year, acquiring future assets, I don't have any problem with it. Now, granted, it sucks seeing Tyreek drop a 45 burger week one and knowing that he's going to be elite. Like that's a huge bummer. But knowing that you're like, hey, you're still in the dance at the end of the day. I think that's fine. I prefer Josh Jacobs more than I do Najee and Cortland Sutton, but Knute, I, like you, can't blame Sam for wanting to get a player in return to fill Jacobs' slot in the lineup, and then as well getting an additional player that he can also put into a starting lineup to get more points. That makes sense to me. It's not what I would do, but that makes sense to me given his circumstances and situations and the way he's played fantasy since I've played fantasy with him. Like, that's always how he's done it.
Yep.
And so I almost have like tons of respect. It's like, dude, you've made the playoffs way more than me. I can't talk shit. So I'm going to shut up and watch him probably make the playoffs again. You know, like, who knows? Any other news? Any other updates? I think that's it for trades as well.
Yeah, it was a fun start to the season. Chaotic for sure, but I love to just experience the activity in Pigskin again as we all mourn a terrible Vikings performance. That was really fun just to be able to share in that again, except for Bort, because he always abandoned us on game day. But, you know, whatever, he's too good for us.
Yeah, Bort says he watches every football game but can't stand to drop into Pigskin every once in a while. I do have some quick
last year I felt like I was in Pigskin way too much.
I'm gonna tone it down a little.
Yeah,
it's a balancing act. I get that.
I've got some quick Discord updates to provide for us. in side bets the day before Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles, Dan Pastrolo and I made a Canes bet that said, quote, Zach Wilson makes one or more regular season starts in 2023, excluding week 18. So in about a week and 4 days, Dan P, you'll be getting a Venmo for a box combo or no, a Caniac combo with a lemonade. So whatever that comes out to, you'll be getting that Venmo from me in about a week and a half. That sucks. I mean, that's a tough bet.
I want to know,
what were the odds of that bet if you could make it at a sports book? Like if I walked up to a sports book and said, hey, I want to take the under on games started for Zach Wilson, regardless of team.
I want to know where Dan gets his team leads because he said Zach Wilson will be starting in 4 weeks when Rodgers was hurt. So the tea leaves had the number 4 because he had 4 plays.
Okay.
Plays, you know, sometimes those can be off, but what do you think? I think it would have been, I don't root for injuries and I feel terrible that Aaron Rodgers is hurt, but how much more, what's the word that I'm looking for? Because hysterical is not the word, but how much more interesting would it have been if he would have popped his Achilles running out of the tunnel with the American flag?
Or
too soon.
That's so bad.
Wasn't that game on 9/11
in New York? Bork.
Dog.
Technically, that's terrible.
Technically, New
bad,
Jersey.
That's not as bad as the DraftKings 9/11 Forget Parlay that they put out and had to then take it down because they received so much backlash. But I digress.
Bort, you and I made a Canes bet regarding Dak. Dak needs to be a QB8 in league format scoring or better for you to cash. Yikes. It's void. The bet is void if Dak does not play weeks 1 through 17. So basically, Dak needs to stay healthy. Because that's your whole argument. Dak healthy for a full season is a top 8 quarterback, and I'm saying no way. So I hope he's healthy. Those are the two side bets that I have to update on. There was some extensive chat in Mort's meme chamber about the Fast and Furious franchise. Ben and I had both admitted to never seeing any of them. But that's not new. That's not new though. Like, I think that's been established.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of sad. I mean, I feel like it's like a rite of passage to watch the Fast and Furious, but.
Rite of passage for what?
To becoming a man.
Then maybe.
Oh, I loved them personally, but yeah, I understand, like, once they got to a certain point, it was relatively the same thing. Unrealistic. Just with
tanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Adding like airplanes and tanks and
subs and stuff. Didn't they add like all sorts of crazy shit? Wheel of Punishment idea. Apparently someone wants to do a Smirnoff Ice challenge. I vote no.
I would not be a fan.
That sounds not fun.
And pay your league dues punishment as well.
Oh, yeah, no. 2 weeks until NBA training camp. Go Ant and Jaden. Those are my two favorite Wolves. And then finally in MLB, Twins magic number is down to 9 because, quote, Cleveland is Cleveland. Thanks, Jamar. Stealing that from you. That's all I have. Make trades, people. Keep waiver wire busy.
This has been very, does it seem more? I mean, is it just all the slew of week one injuries that skewed it upwards a little bit?
I think so.
Okay.
I think we'll see a pretty dramatic drop off of injuries and waiver bids and activity probably 3 or 4 weeks down the line.
Yeah.
All right, boys, strap in. Week 2, go Vikes. Oh, Vikes score projection or projections. If you're into that, I'm going 24-14 Eagles.
Eagles 27, Vikings 17.
You guys are going with the 10-point victory.
Two 10-point victories.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Eagles. And I'm going to say 28-10.
Well, good sign for the Vikings. The three of us are all complete idiots. So there's a really, really good chance. Go get your Vikings plus 6.5 tonight at any sports betting place, because clearly the three of us have no idea. So
I'm going to go take the Eagles minus 6.5.
Dang.
There you go.
Hey, Skol.
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 Later, y'all.
Bye.
See you, boys.